Hello and welcome to the Overseas Development Institute. I am Sara Pantuliano, the head of the Humanitarian Policy Group, and I'm joined by David Gressley, the United Nations Regional Humanitarian Coordinator for the Sahel. An estimated 18 million people in West Africa have been affected by food insecurity in 1 year alone, that is in 2012. The conflict in northern Mali then added to the crisis, as hundreds of thousands sought refuge in the south and in neighbouring countries. David, with such a huge food and nutrition crisis now compounded by the conflict in Mali, how have you prioritised humanitarian response?
Well, we have to do several things simultaneously. We need across the Sahel to maintain the kind of support we provided last year to provide people emergency support for food security and malnutrition. We have to keep that up. And we have to keep up the effort to push our development partners to deal with the long-term causes of this, the chronic nature of this. And it's very important we start doing that in 2013. If not, we will be in a situation 3-4 years from now with the next drought facing the same kind of crisis. So it's important we pursue those two twin goals. On the crisis in Mali, what's important is to reach the displaced and the host communities that are welcoming them, whether it's inside Mali or outside, and those are the key things. And finally, our biggest challenge right now is really on the issue of access, getting to all the populations because of the current conflict that's underway. We don't have full access. So we have about 500,000 people in the north we're working on getting access to right now.
You just back from Mali. What were you able to assess to be the key protection needs of the civilians there?
Part of the needs of the population is access to humanitarian services, also opening up again commercial markets so that markets are functioning again. But there's also a lot of concerns over human rights abuses, both by those armed groups that were in rebellion, such as Mujao or Ansar Dine, but even allegations by Malian security forces of revenge killings and summary executions. So it's important that we get good access for good presence on the ground. Presence in itself can act as a deterrent. It's also important to get human rights monitors that can investigate these allegations and clearly determine whether the allegations are true or not. Not all allegations will prove to be true, so it's important to keep that in mind. But the problem is that false allegations can have an impact by inciting violence in other communities. So it's important that we get presence on the ground, appropriate monitoring on the ground as quickly as possible to keep the tensions reduced and not to create a dynamic that's very difficult to overcome in the weeks and months ahead.
What do you think is required to contain the crisis?
I think, well, first of all, there's not just one crisis. There are multiple crises in Mali right now. There's at least two political crises. There's the crisis, as we know, of the secession movement in the north and related armed groups, some of who have a fundamentalist agenda as well. But there's also the political crisis in the south of the country, which is not really linked with the secessionist crisis. It's very much linked to the long-term problems of bad governance in Mali, corruption, and the lack of delivery of appropriate services, and therefore the lack of legitimacy in the eyes of many Malians of the previous political leadership. So those two crises will need to be dealt with in an appropriate way so that an appropriate political solution is found that is inclusive of all communities in Mali, that reflect their aspirations, and one that also provides an equitable access to development. And if we look at the other crises, what we see both a humanitarian crisis linked to the conflict, but also a development crisis linked to the failed policies of the past. And so what will be required is an appropriate development strategy that is equitable in nature, that reaches out to many Malians who've not benefited in the past. It is why we see such high rates of malnutrition. It's why we still see 2 million people food insecure. Only 500,000 of those are in the north. The rest are in the south and central part of the country. So a broad development agenda, throughout Mali, plus a good stabilization program in the north of Mali will be required to get out of these multiple crises.
You've mentioned the need for this equitable development approach in Mali a few times. Can you expand on how this should be pursued?
What's important is to look at the underlying causes of food insecurity, malnutrition. I think it's a very good example. And what is required to deal with these issues? One, improved agricultural production will help increase, of course, food production itself. Better water management. Actually, Mali has great sources of water in the Niger River. But also looking at why we have such high rates of malnutrition. And malnutrition is complex. It's not just linked to the availability of food. It's also linked to access to basic social services, health and water services, very important. Malaria can be a trigger that puts a child into a cycle that leads to severe acute malnutrition. Other waterborne diseases can do the same thing. So it's important that all the causes of malnutrition also be dealt with. And if you take a longer-term approach and look at how households can become more resilient to the kinds of crises that you see in Mali and other countries across the Sahel, it will require a very good targeting of the most marginalized households in Mali. And the very households that have not benefited from development programs. So building up resilience of these households, building social safety nets that gives them access perhaps to cash transfers if there's a crisis, will allow them to get past a drought or a spike in high food prices that often put them in difficulties in the way things work today. As an example, today in a drought, what a family has to do to survive, they often will sell their livestock. They will go into debt to pay for things that they need, including food. They may go into debt to get seeds to try to get a new crop in. They may pull their children out of school to save money. They'll buy less nutritious food and just try to survive on the very basic of foods, which can lead to malnutrition. All of these things that they do to survive makes it difficult for them to thrive after the crisis passes because they're in debt, they don't have resources for their family, the kids are out of school, they may never go back to school. So we need to find a way for these very same families to pass through this crisis without having to take those kinds of decisions that have a very negative consequence on their futures, quite feasible to do with a very balanced development approach.
Thank you very much, David. That was David Gressley, the UN Regional Humanitarian Coordinator for the Sahel. If you want to hear more on the conflict and intervention in Mali, go to www.odi.org.uk/HPG.